This is Helen Gilmore, and you're listening to podcast Finding Abundance, episode 3. Get ready, sit back, and relax, and enjoy this episode. Welcome back. Okay, so it's been a couple of days since I did the last podcast, and so a few things have changed. Nothing major, still in the same boat in regards to the money. Nothing coming in, a lot going out, the usual for us. So, but I think that my whole attitude has changed. Within the past couple of days, I don't know what has caused it, but it has. I am not as negative as much as I was. I don't dwell on the negativity as I normally did. I have found myself in a state of mind that I am just thinking, to heck with it all. It is what it is. I will have to deal with it, and there's nothing that I can do about it, so might as well carry on and do the norm, and hopefully something will show up, and if nothing does, so that's the way it goes. I also believe that I started doing, if you haven't heard the exercise that I thought was pretty interesting, that would be in episode 2, where I forgot his name and I apologize, had mentioned doing this exercise, and I chose to do it at night to help you get into a more focused atmosphere, to be more focused on your positive, what you would like it to be. So I had mentioned that I was going to do this at night because I felt that that was the time for me to do it. If I had chosen to do it sometime during the day, I knew that I would not, there'll be a day that I would just be too busy to do it and eventually forget to do it. So I also mentioned that there could be a possibility that I would forget to do it, even though it was at night, because I'd be too tired, or sometimes I just fall asleep, etc., etc. But I have been doing it every day for the past almost week. So I think that that may have been what has kept me in a good, positive nature, which I find to be helpful. The only downfall to this for me personally is the fact, a downfall in meaning that if you decide to do it at night, I found myself, because the exercise specifically said for you to put yourself in a situation where you found happiness, where you're really happy, and take everything in, make it look like it's right now, happening right now, and get that feeling, and then replace that feeling with what it is that you're trying to achieve currently. So I've done that, and because I have generated I've generated this scene, this feeling, this emotion, that when I'm done with the exercise, I find myself too awake to go back to go to sleep, or find myself so energized and all get go and yes, this is gonna happen, blah 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 blah, that I don't fall asleep as quickly as I would if I was just going straight to bed. That's the only downfall. That if many of you are doing this, it would be a downfall if you have to get up in the morning to go to work. I am fortunate enough to have a job that is after dinner. So my second job is after dinner. So I don't have to get up at 6 or 7 in the morning to get dressed to go to work. I have my online business of soap making that I do, and that are hours that I can make, you know, decide when to go in. I'm a manufacturer, so I'm not open generally to the public, even though the public could visit and purchase. I'm not open as a store. It's more of a manufacturing plant because I source out to larger companies and they deal with the selling. So that's the only thing. That will change. I'll see how I do this weekend because I'm off this weekend from my second job, and I will be heading over to the soap factory to make soaps and catch up on orders and do the cleaning, yada yada yada. So I'll be doing that. So I'll be interesting to see how I do this, how it turns out for me to do this exercise at night. So to put a long story short, probably too late, I feel that it has helped. I feel that I'm more positive. Maybe talking on the podcast is also a big thing, because a lot of the emotions and the things that are going through my head, I sort of keep to myself. I don't, you know, me and my husband discuss it. We have arguments, of course, because when it comes to money, it is such a real, that is one of the major factors for any marriage to split up. And that is something that we are not prepared to do, but the arguments are not as nice. No argument is. So we're trying to fix that in terms of I'm trying to stay positive. It's very hard, and that's the reason for this podcast, is to focus more on how do you stay positive, and more so is how do you stay positive if you're living with somebody who's negative. Now, don't get me wrong, my husband doesn't wake up and say this is a bad day, everything's horrible, blah 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 blah, but he's not a believer in abundance or like versus like. He doesn't believe in the secret at all, thinks it's just a hoax and it's just somebody trying to make a profit off of somebody's state of self, not self-worth, but making money off of somebody who is vulnerable or who is in need of attention, nurturing, things of that nature. I'm pretty sure you know what I mean, which is understandable. I get it. Just the same way people feel like psychics, when you go see a psychic, they think it's all crap and, you know, you're giving them more information than you should be, and that's how they're determining whether or not they're on the right path. And there was a whole thing on television, somebody had gotten busted, and you see, if you look it on YouTube, if you know any psychics that are well known in the state or the place that you live in, you'll know. If you look up psychics who got busted, you will see countless amounts of people who have been caught. I know, I was very shocked to see that one of them that I used to watch, and I watched that stuff, I mean, I'm a sucker for it. I am. One of the gentlemen who was the presenter, apparently you go online when you're about to see, before you enter to go into the auditorium to see him do his thing, they hand out a questionnaire, and in the questionnaire it's questions that are pretty blatantly obvious who you here to seek and things of that nature. So you're basically giving him the information that he will use to try to connect to whoever it is that you're trying to connect with. So if you say you're looking for Uncle Bob, so I'm trying to get back to where I was. I sort of got sidetracked there, so I had visitors. My son came downstairs. So anyway, to continue, I hope I go back to where I originally left off. Believe it was this psychic, it was a guy, I won't say names, but what you do is you get online because you're waiting to get in. And as you're waiting to get in, of course, you're sitting talking they have people online listening to what you're saying in hopes that they pick something up, but there's no like proof of that. There's just people saying that this has happened. There's no proof. But what they did say is that while you're online, you're given a questionnaire to fill out. And the questionnaire is basically asking you who you're looking for to connect with. So you're giving them the, as much information as you can. And I assume that the more information you give, the chances are you will be called from the audience to say, and we have whoever you're looking for here with us, and they say blah. Which is sad, but I believe that it's people who are just looking for that validation, for looking for that closure, that they're willing to take whatever it is they can get. Now, I'm not saying that all psychics are doing this. I only know that one, and just another one, that showed they don't know as much as they believe that they do. And it's sad, because if there are ones, which I haven't been fortunate enough to see, not that I go out looking, I've done so in the past, I mean, who hasn't, there has to be one that actually will say something specific to me that would make me think, oh my God, nobody knows that, how do you know that? And that's when everybody wants that aha moment. So as I was saying, my husband is a non-believer of things like that. See how I sidetracked? He's a non-believer. He doesn't think that it works. He thinks life happens, and life just happens, whether good or bad, and you have no control over it, and whatever your cards you're dealt, you just play with them. And if you get a full house, you get a full house. If you get a pair, then that's it, you know. So it's really difficult trying to live with somebody who is not into the same things that you are. Especially something like this, because this is when you really need that support, you need that guidance, you need that yes, that little burden on your shoulders to always remind you that there is something good's going to happen. I mean, we try very hard to, you know, when it gets really bad for us financially, we try to just say something's good going to happen soon, something's good is going to happen soon. We're still waiting for that, and it's been quite a while. Say the past 3 years, and we're still waiting for that something good. But it's really difficult, you know. He has moments when he goes really down, really, really down on himself. He's, of course, he was raised being the man, to being the provider, things like that. I don't know why, but I was also raised as being a man and a provider. But I was raised to be a tough woman and be a strong woman, and I really do believe that I am. It's so weird. It's like I'm a really big fan of Game of Thrones, and when you look at that show, you see that women are the ones that are the boss, and I really do believe that that has not changed. I'm sorry, men, but I am Daenerys Targaryen, so that's me. It's like I will take what is mine with fire and blood, and I do. It's just something financially I just cannot take with fire and blood. I can't grasp it. So in any event, it's just trying to live with the negativity, and trying to stay as positive as you can, and trying to see if that is going to help me be more positive and things like that. So okay, so let's just see what we can get, and hopefully the information I provide to you today will help you sort of understand how this negativity works and what we can do about it. second negativity is something, and I don't know if you're into this philosophy thing, but apparently somewhere during my education time, I took a psychology class because that was a requirement to be in the nurse. And there was a phrase that I remember, and it was called tabula rasa, which is a blank slate, which is what they believe that we were all born, what one person believed that everybody was born with. It was a clean slate. You were a baby, you were brand new, nothing. You had no forces around you to guide you, to tell you what was right and wrong. So you were just brand new. You were untouched. You were not told to be prejudiced, not told, you know what I'm getting at. So that I do believe. I believe that when you're born, you have nothing. You know, you know nothing. You are nothing, really. And it's what around you, it's your environment, your family is what creates you. So it's sad because if you have a parent or parents, or you're with people who are prejudiced, you become prejudiced. Or you might not, you don't, I don't know. But that's what people say. And whether or not it's something that you think is true for you, then it's true for you. If it's not, then it's not, you know. But you cannot be blamed for being who you are because of the way that you were brought up. I was fortunate enough to be brought up by very loving parents. And the atmosphere, the environment around me with them was absolutely great. Their story, there's a story behind us, which I will explain much later in more in other podcasts. But right now, I don't feel that it's the time to bring that up. But as far as love, yes, we have love. Yes, we were very close. We come from a Hispanic background. And if you're Hispanic, then you know that it is, everything is touchy-feely, love, hug, love you, this, that, you know, that is what we had. And we still have, which I'm very fortunate. And so the surrounding that was good. Now, of course, you have other family members that are a part of you, cousins, aunts, uncles, and not everybody's perfect. Everybody has had bad days. And if you have a family member who's very negative, then that doesn't help you because that makes you negative, things like that. So it's an up and down thing, and that's just the way life is, you know. And it isn't until you get older, become my age, you know, maybe even a little younger, or even younger, that you realize, you know what, I need to start changing things. I need to start figuring out what I'm doing. I didn't, to be honest, I didn't become very well organized in my head in terms of my goals. And that was because my mother got married at a very, very young age. She never finished high school. She was told not to finish high school. You need to get out of high school because you're going to get married. That's what she was told, and that's what she did. So my mother, of course, as any mother would do when they have a child, I will give you what I did not. And my mom says, you will finish school no matter what, because there was a time that I was very close to not doing it anymore, and she knew that. I got caught, and she says, you will finish school. You will give me that diploma because I worked for it. Okay, Mom. So I was at the time I was so mad. You know, of course, you know, you're supposed to be mad at your parents. They don't know what they're talking about. You know, I know everything. But I was glad she did that, and it helped. So then after high school, it was more of a, you do what you want. Don't, you know, see the world. Her thing was see the world, do this, do everything, and then get married. So that's what I did. You know, I saw the world. I went to Europe. I had fun. I had fun. I didn't care about my future because my future was having fun. And that's what I did. So let's go back to the negativity stuff. So that, I guess what I'm trying to say is, how do we become negative people? And that is because of our surroundings, our parents, and things like, if you have parents that were negative, you become negative. If surroundings, then you become negative. I lived in the Bronx, and it was nice growing up, but of course, you know, me being in the Bronx, I lived in the Thugs Neck area, so that eventually became a place that you didn't want to be anymore, sadly, and so we moved, and so that's how people become negative, the surrounding, and that was just obvious. This is nothing new, probably, for you, how that happens. So, if you're right now in a stage where do we get this negativity, and so right now where you're at, you're trying to figure out steps to not do this anymore, to not be negative. And it's, I can't say it's steps, I can't, each, I guess my best way of doing it is, or explaining it, is that there are negative things in everything that happens to you. I don't care. So let's say you, there's a black, I guess you would say a black and white to everything. So let's just say, let's see if I can think of a good example. I don't know, this might sound really ridiculous, but let's say you go shopping to buy a pair of pants and you look at them, they're gorgeous. The good thing is that they're gorgeous, they're perfect, I love them. Bad thing about it is that the size, they don't have the size. So there's always a good and a bad thing about it. So every little thing that happens to you during your day, there is always a good thing and a bad thing about it. So I'm going to touch on things that are negative and ways to help you avoid having to deal with that negativity. Okay, so of course, lo and behold, your work environment. People who don't love their job, some people show it very badly. And they show it because they take it on in you. You're doing poor, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. So you have to sort of develop a way to deal with trying to either accept it, because if you're accepting it, then you're accepting that negativity. You need to block that out in some form or some way. And that's really hard to do, because if you sit there and you're being yelled at and you're doing, all you're doing is smiling, thinking to yourself, you ain't touching me, none of your words harm me, then you could get fired for it if you're not, you know, crying or something like that. So you have this work environment and you're trying to, you need to take notes of what it is that is, I think, what upsets you. Do this on a daily thing. You know, spend the whole day, just focus on work, okay? If work's a big part of your life, which for many of us it is, just jot down. Don't like when my boss tells me to do this. Don't like it when I'm told that I have an hour break and then I'm told, no, you don't have an hour break. Not that anybody does, but you know, I'm only getting 5 minutes. You know, just try to, you find those little things. Try to keep a note of those little things. And then what you need to do, and I feel that you need to do, is look at them and say, okay, how can I take this situation and make it better? So let's say if I don't like it that my boss tells me to make him coffee every day, all right? And just, I don't know what you would say to that, to make it better, but try to think of something that would make you not hate that so much. You know, and I'm not saying anything bad, like I'm going to spit in his coffee, nothing like that. But something, you need to not take those things literally, because if you're going to be upset about something like that, you know, like a coffee thing, and that might, I don't know, but something small, then you need to really, really get a hold of that anger, that negativity, because that negativity, making coffee for somebody every day, it's that's not the issue. There's something underlining that that's making you angry, not the coffee, because, you know, doing something and you're getting paid for it shouldn't be that much of an issue. You know, if you were doing it and you weren't getting paid, then it would be a bigger thing, type thing. If you if you get what I'm saying. So when you think of, when you're writing stuff down for work, you really ask yourself, should I really be angry about this? Is this worth me being really angry about? Is it? So that could probably help you figure out that, no, this isn't worth it. I don't know why I'm angry about this coffee. You know, it's no big deal, whatever. And just try to do a mentality like, you could be doing the coffee and not even think. Let your subconscious pour it and you think of something else. I don't know, but it shouldn't be that much of an issue. Another thing is your television. Now, people say, watch television. Of course, if you watch television and you watch the news, you forget about the news. The news is full of nothing, everything that's horribly wrong. I'm not telling you to cut the news out because something, you know, major could be happening in your area and you're sitting picking daisies like, this is fun and this, you know what I'm trying to say. So just be aware of what is going on, but don't take it internally. If something you're saying upsets you, change the channel. Just change it. If you get the idea of what's going on and go, oh my God, this is a sad story, I'm changing it, just do it. You need to start removing the negativity and you need to do it in bits and pieces. And I guess that's the way I do it too. I don't watch too much television. There's people that, I watched the YouTube video, this guy says, I don't watch it anymore because it's all crap and it's all making me, and I'm like, what? How can you not? You know, there's always this entertainment there. You know, this shows that make you laugh. Shows that make you cry. Sometimes crying is good for you. Sometimes you cry and you feel better. There's nothing wrong with expressing emotions, you know. But when there's that hate and that negative thing, and it, you notice that it's being carried on more than usual, then that's something that you need to step back and say, all right, I think enough's enough. I need to chill out here. So television, just try to watch more funny shows. Watch funny movies. I always find that if I put a really good movie on, even if it's a stupid cute movie like Clueless, I thought was cute when it came out and I still like it. Go back to the 80s, I have to go back to the 80s or the 90s where you watch 16 Candles, you know, Pretty in Pink, things like that, things that made you happy at one time. Nothing wrong with watching them again. Why not? Just you don't even have to sit and watch it with popcorn, have it playing in the background while you're, you know, making dinner, or, you know, doing your hobbies or writing a letter. I don't know, looking on the internet, there's nothing wrong. But try to keep that. You're creating your zen. You need to create it's your life. You create it. So you create what it is you want playing. You create what you're seeing. You're creating what you're eating. You're creating what you should be doing. And everything you should be doing should have some loving, beneficial effect on you. And if you don't do that, then you're not going to be, in my opinion, I could be wrong, fulfilled and accepting for this abundance to happen. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm spatting out words just for the sake of it, but I'm not just trying to convince you. I'm trying to convince me. I'm trying to get an understanding of how do I change my head and say, you know, I need to rethink and redo, which is what I need to do, which is why I started this. And this journey that I have asked you to come and join me with, I want to have somebody there to see this unfold for me. And I also want to know if this has unfolded for you, if you're looking for it too. And I'm doing this and I'm not asking for like $80, $100, $200 for, you know, for this. I'm giving this for free, you know. And there's so many people out there that charge all this money. Come and see me at a seminar and I will tell you how to find love and happiness. No, you're not going to tell me how to do it. I'm going to go find it without you. And that's how it should be done. Okay, so another thing that people talked about was food. Please watch what you eat. Don't eat junk. Try to eat all natural fruits, water, drink water. I don't know about that. Personally, I don't think that. No, you are not going to tell me not to eat junk. I will eat junk, and I don't care if it lands in my trunk, as long as I'm happy. I'm going to have a chocolate cake. I'm going to have some potato chips, as long as I'm happy. Food, I don't think, is going to, I don't know, it's not going to tear you apart. You're going to have a bad day, stomach upset, little extra trips to the toilet. Don't make a difference. Did you enjoy that cake? That's all that matters, okay? That's all that matters, girlfriend. Enjoyed that cake? Sorry you had to run, but wasn't that chocolate good? Do what you want. Do what you want. Eat what you want. And that's my thing on food. I'm not going to go into the details. I've heard details on this. I'm like, no. If I want my potato chips, then I'm going to have my potato chips. Okay, so food, I'm dropping it. Another thing is do the things that you love doing. And that's what I said. Movies, whatever. Take at least half an hour. If you can, please take the half an hour for yourself. And I'm not saying take that half an hour, lay in a tub. If that's what you have the time to do, that's fine. But, you know, paint your nails. Do your eyebrows. You know, blow dry your hair. Do a if you're a feminine, do a feminine thing for you. If you're a man, manly thing, do manly things for you. Take that time. Pamper yourself. You know, you deserve it. You've worked. You struggled for the day. You dealt with all these negativities. Wash that stuff off of you. Another thing that I found that helps is taking a shower. Bad day. Can't get your mind focused. I do a lot of graphic stuff. I do a lot of internet work, you know, for the soap business. And I'm just like, oh, this is so much. This is too much. I can't take it anymore. So then I tell myself, you know what? Screw it. I'm taking a shower. You know, take a shower. When you're taking a shower, just think. All this negativity, I'm washing it off, watching it go down the drain, it's going to wherever, I don't care. So it's like you're starting fresh. Oh, that felt so good. Now you just start all over again. I love taking showers. I could take showers all day. And that, I think, is something. So I don't know. Try it. See if that works for you. Another big thing is watch the company you keep. Obviously, if you have people around you, close personal friends who are very negative, that's a big thing, especially when you have friends. Friends who are negative don't seem to work. Tell in regards to friends with negativity. When I was growing up, when I was like in my mid-20s, I had a really good friend. We used to go out clubbing, as they call it, just go to this place, and it's every Wednesday. We used to go dancing and drinking and just catching up with old friends or making new ones. And it was fun. We did it every Wednesday, and then, you know, we'd chat and on the phone, she'd come over, things like that. We were just really good friends. She had a bad temper, which I sort of started to see fester up as I got to know her better. She had a tendency that when she got very angry, she would pick up whatever what was in her reach and fling it. She would throw it. It wasn't like I wasn't scared of her. I knew she wouldn't hurt me, but she just, I don't know, every time she got mad, she'd pick up whatever was near and she'd throw it. One time we got kicked out of the club that we were in because her boyfriend at the time was in the club and decided to break up with her in the club amongst the loud music. And she walked right over, picked up an ashtray that was, at the time you can smoke in the clubs, picked up the ashtray and flung it against the wall, and guards, the security came out of nowhere and took her out, so I had to leave with her. And I was pissed off that day because we had just gotten in there and I was looking forward to all this and blah, blah, blah. And then she apologized, you know, for having done that. And I'm thinking, but you should have never done it in the first place. You know, I understand you were mad he broke up with you. He did it in a really bad situation. But to keep flinging things when you get pissed is just ridiculous. And she would just make it really uncomfortable that when she was pissed, it was like nobody go near her and leave her alone. But she wanted you there. You know, it wasn't like she went off and decided, let me go cool off, I'll come back. No, she wanted you there. And when you're there in that sort of an environment, you start to feel like, oh my God, what do I do? This is bad. I can't even smile. And I think the determinant, what caused me to sort of break up, because you don't know how to break up with a friend. What do you do? You can't. There's no way you can break up with a friend. I mean, people say they've done it, but I mean, it's not like you, like a boyfriend says, I'm sorry, we can't see each other anymore. You can't tell a friend, I can't see you anymore. It just feels weird. So to me, the determinant was my grandmother had sadly passed away without notice, meaning it wasn't something, it wasn't a condition she was suffering. It was just she died of a heart attack, sadly. And it happened on New Year's Eve, 20 minutes before midnight. And it was just devastating for us because we hadn't a clue this was going to happen. And we were very, very close. I mean, a close family, that it was just like, oh my God, you know, so I was upset. So she was staying with me at my apartment at the time and had bought over her new boyfriend. And I didn't know that she was there because she said she was going out that day, wanted to know if I wanted to go with her. For some reason I had said, which I thought was odd, is no, I'm going to stick around. You know, just have New Year's on my own. And which I now, as I think about it, I thought, you know, that's really odd that I had said that, because that, you know, that was the time when you went out and we were always going out. For some reason, I didn't. So, went over to my grandmother's house, you know, to comfort my grandfather, and came in after midnight to get sleep, and she was there with him. And she looked at me and she said, what happened? I said, my grandmother just died. So, rather than being consoling, you could see she was pissed. And 5 minutes later, she told her boyfriend, let's go. You know, and that made me feel like, who the hell are you to be upset with me? Because now I've destroyed your New Year's. How dare you? So she took him, she left. And I don't know if she came back. I don't remember that. But the funeral came and asked if she was going to go. And she said, why should I go? She went, and you could see she didn't like it, and paid her respects, and that was it. And I think that was the be all and end all. And I had thought, well, I'll just distance myself, which is something that you would do. You would distance yourself from them. But it was hard because she was always there, and she would always question, like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And you had to give her an answer. So eventually, what I ended up doing was I said, I'm just moving to Florida with my parents, and that was it. She was pissed. Because I was leaving, and I was leaving her, and I have lost contact with her since. I think I made one attempt and spoke to her on the phone like years later. She was like, oh, so good to hear from you, blah, blah, blah. And I thought we would keep up the friendship that way from a distance, but that didn't seem to work, and that was fine. Miss her, of course, think of the old times, the good times, but didn't like that. That was the big thing for me, was that I didn't like that at all. I don't know what that is, but that is the grandmother situation, the throwing things, the awkwardness. So when you have friends like that, it's sort of hard to try to break up with them. So what I found is you keep them at a distance, and I think that is probably better. Or if, let's say, you have a really good friend that you grew up for years with, and you're more positive than she is, and you're in constant contact with her, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, Snapchat, you're just gonna have to slowly distance yourself from them, period. If you feel that they are being negative, because as they say, misery loves company, And I found during my times as it was growing that people seem to like it if you're in a worse state than they are. They always try to put one over on you. If you someone says to you, how do you feel? Feel good. How do you feel? Oh, I feel great. That was always that one step ahead of you. And I just feel like that's not the purpose of being a friend. You know, it's always trying like a mini competition. I don't like to compete with people. I think it's a losing battle, because when I do start to be a competitive type person, I do strive for that winning gold medallion or whatever. So I always find that if I'm in a competitive state with somebody, I will tell them right off the bat, you will lose this, because I do not go away not being a winner. And then that really upsets them, because they see it as, oh, well. So in any event, distance yourself from them. Don't call them as much. You're going to have to start lying if you need to. I've been really busy. I'm taking care of some stuff. Make up whatever you can. Don't pick up a phone. Don't reply to texts as quickly. Always use the charge of my phone. I've been really busy. Sorry about that. Because you need to more focus on you rather than on them, because they start to be sort of a vampire sucker, if you ever heard that phrase before, which is they start to drain the life out of you. And they don't even use that energy from you, because I feel like they've used it to make their situation much worse. So there's no point. I understand that if you have a friend that's in dire need, and that's fine. Give them great advice, and some people don't take it, some people do, but you make that judgment you know, you already know that person, so you know if it's worth your efforts to providing them with help or assistance or a shoulder to cry on, and you know they're going to take that to heart and use that information. Some people take your advice and they do nothing with it, even though they yes you up and down, and you think, yeah, I've made a big impact on them, and then you see them the next day doing totally opposite. So it sort of makes you feel like, well, why'd you waste my time? This is ridiculous type thing. So you need to sort of distance yourself from them in that respect. Like I said, less phone calls, less talking. You want to surround yourself with more positive people and have that energy with them. And then when you know it, because I know when I'm with positive people, my God, it just brings out the greater positivity in me. And it's just a fabulous feeling, you know, by the time you've left their presence, that you feel so good about yourself, even though you did nothing and they did nothing. It's just the way they talk, the way they confront you, the way they enjoy your company. Don't go to things like gatherings where people meet together and there's money involved, you know, type thing. Like if you're going to a seminar and you've paid this presenter to give you some advice or things like that, I don't feel that money should be used to change your life. So when you see seminars that say, join our seminar, we will teach you how to be positive and teach you how to do this and that, you should not pay to love yourself. That is absolutely ridiculous. I don't want to pay, and I will never pay for that. I want to look for this free, so that I know when I finally get it, I started out knowing that I did it from scratch, from nothing. And to have to pay people to help me is not the way to go. Some people might need, let's say they need to see a psychiatrist and they do have to pay for it, then that's fine, you know, because there's more to what you're trying to seek. That is a medical, a physical, not medical, sort of a psychological need. And if you need that and you're willing to pay for that, good for you, because not many people will be willing to do that. And for you to take that first step, you pat yourself on the back, because some people will never do it. And never be ashamed to go and seek that help if you feel you need it and you have the finance to pay for it. Because bravo for you. You know, I pat you, I hug you from a distance, good for you. But to pay somebody who has no medical training, and I don't care because you can get a PhD online, is just ridiculous. I would never pay some guy who's been around for years to say, well, look what I've accomplished, you know, after being around for so many years. Of course you've accomplished so much, because people who are vulnerable will do anything to become invulnerable. And you use money to do that, you know, money to do that, and that is just unfair. I do not think that that is a way to change your life. If you want to change it, you will do it, and it will cost you nothing. Next thing I wanted to talk about in regards to the negativity and ways to avoid it is one of the things that I found that is, for me, the biggest problem is, and I hate to use the term, but there's no way to do it, and I'll probably have to delete this podcast after it's done, Facebook started out as a great thing for keeping in touch with people, friends, family, you know, posting pictures, look what I've done today, look at the sun, this is a beautiful night, thing, whatever. But now, it's absolutely effing ridiculous. Now people post, look what I have, look what I got, look where I am, look what I'm doing, look how much money I got, look at this birthday. And it's just a show off. You are showing off, and that's all you're doing. You are showing off. Nobody sits and writes, horrible day, this is crap, look what happened to me. Nobody says it. You know, maybe somebody does, but none of my people on my Facebook do it. It's all, look what I got, look what I got, look what I got. And I'm tired. I am sick to death of Facebook. Like, I really hate it. I occasionally go on it and I'll post a picture of my dog. That's it. I don't sit and type, oh, look what I did today. Look at it. This is the one that I love the most. And I absolutely, I think it's the most funniest thing. Okay. So let's say Mother's Day, right? My mother, she lives in Orlando. I live in Scotland. So yeah, she doesn't have Facebook, really. So I call her. Happy Mother's Day. I love you so much. You're the greatest. Or I send her a text. Love you so much. Or we Skype. And that's it. This is what I don't understand that people do. Okay? I know people that are on Facebook that their mother is just down the block from them. Just down the street, down the block. But they will put it on Facebook. Just wanted to say I love you, Mom, for being there for me. And da 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 da. And I'm thinking, why do you need to post that on Facebook? Why? Why? What are you doing? What are you doing? Or, I love my husband. Just wanted to tell him he's the greatest thing. Thank you so much for being there for me. I love you, honey. Or, I love you, my son. Or, you're the greatest daughter in the world. Why do you need to put it on Facebook? Why can't you freaking call them? Right? Or go to their house, send them a text, go on Skype, and do it yourself. Why do you need to put it on Facebook? Do you need to prove this to them that you love them? No, I don't think so, because they should know already. I think you need to prove it to yourself, and that's a big problem. That's a big problem. That's why I hate Facebook. I just don't see the point in having to show off what you got and what you're doing, blah, blah, blah. It's nobody's business. I saw her once, this was years ago, a woman had people on her Facebook and wrote down, this is great, I'm going on a holiday, going to this place for this long a time, and guess what happened? Came home, place was broken into, because somebody on Facebook saw it, that she was away,
She had pretty things in her house and decided to pay her a visit. So she was robbed. So see what happens. You know, there's no point. Absolutely no point. I use Facebook because my family, like I said, is out, you know, in the States. So I post things, you know, like, this is where we are. This is what we're doing occasionally. But I would call them and say, oh, we went here, we went there, we went there, blah, blah, blah. That's all I need to do. But this show-off crap that people do, look what I got, look at the ring I got, look what he bought me. I don't care, you know. I don't really give a damn what he bought you. That's fine. You don't need to, you know, there's no point. To me, that's showing insecurity. And I could go for months on Facebook alone. And then you sign up to certain things. You like certain pages. Like, I like cute things, like the puppy, like the animal stuff. But then you occasionally get that, look what happened to this dog. Look how it suffered. And then that's a really sad story. That's an absolutely devastating story. Or this just devastating story. People love to read misery. People love it, and that's fine. If you want to read it, that's fine. But some of it can really, really tear you apart. I read one, didn't think anything of it. Read it, was just like, oh my God. It was like, I can't believe this happened to this woman. It was in Ireland. I don't know what happened. She didn't go out. Family went, and she lost her whole entire family except for her baby, because the husband had managed to come out of the car. The car went into the river. The father was able to escape the window with the brand new baby, gave it to the people that were on the boat. I need to go back to save the rest of my family, and died with the rest of his family. It was two kids, him and the mother-in-law, I believe. So it was just absolutely, this woman lost her whole entire life within a second. And I was floored, absolutely floored. It just gives me goosebumps thinking about it. And it's just a horrible, horrible thing to happen to her. And it's not something she will ever, ever, ever forget or ever lose that hurt. You know, like if you get a cut, the pain hurts, yes, and then it goes away, and then you forget about it, and occasionally think about, oh yeah, I got that scar from when I got hurt. This woman, every time she relives that, that pain is as if it just happened. So you need to start removing, deleting, and just getting rid of all that, and you have to do that slowly. And to do that slowly, what you're getting rid of, you need to replace with positive stuff. So if you get rid of a friend, watch a good movie. If you get rid of Facebook, you know, find some funny YouTube videos that you can look at. They're massive amounts. You need to start laughing. Make a conscious effort to smile, to laugh, to have a good time, and enjoy life for free. So on that note, I'll be bringing this podcast to a close. I wish you the best. Don't forget to share this. Go on Facebook, go on Twitter, tell your friends, tell your boyfriends, tell your husband. All the information will be hopefully in the description box, but I know for Twitter, it's abundance for us all. So that's abundant, the number for us all. From there, you'll be able to see where our Facebook page is, and then you can join that. And join in on the discussion if you have stories to share, anything, good or bad, nothing wrong with that, because our main purpose is to change that bad to good. So if you have a sad story to tell, I'm pretty sure other people as well as me will be able just to do that little bit of giving you hope and opportunity to change that, because that's what we're all here to do, and that's what my purpose is here to do. And until then, I will see you next week, and hopefully we'll be focusing on more of trying to lift up our spirits and trying to, and I'll give you an update as to how things are going with me. As of now, nothing's changed, but until then, I will speak to you soon. And don't forget, if you can go on iTunes and leave us a 5-star review, that would be great. There's other places I'll be posting this as well, I'm not sure, but once I start to get into the actual posting of stuff, then I'll be able to provide you with more info. But if you're hearing this podcast, it's because you got it on iTunes. So if you can go back there real quick, just give a 5-star rating. I'd appreciate it. So until then, guys, you have a safe week, an enjoyable week. Smile, make a conscious effort, do something for you for at least 15 to 30 minutes, and get rid of that negativity, because we don't need it. That's for the other people. We're special. And it's about time we let people know. Take care. Bye.